The following program was taped in front of an audience of real live people.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is, wait, don't tell me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the voice as smooth as my co-host's head. Bill Curtis. And here's your host at the TD Pavilion at the Man in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Peter Sagan.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you. We are delighted to be back in Philadelphia. Later on, we're going to be talking to one of its famous native sons, jazz legend Christian McBride. But first, I got to say, this city has changed. It is no longer the famously belligerent place it used to be, and there's one reason. Its sports teams are good now. Mm-hmm. It's true. Just the other day, we saw a bunch of happy Phillies fans politely offering a selection of batteries to the opposing players. So don't worry about being booed when you call in to play our games. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Now let's welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Nina in Brooklyn, New York.
Hey, Nina, how are things in Brooklyn?
Is that a boo?
Yes! It's Philadelphia, and you knew what you were getting into, Nina, when you called.
Brooklyn's in the house, Nina. Okay.
Nina, just say you're from Philly. Just pivot.
Yeah, just pivot. Say you love Philly. Say you love Philly. So, Nina, you live in Brooklyn. What incredibly cool, hip Brooklyn thing do you do?
I work at a creative agency for social impact, and also I co-own a boxing gym with some friends.
Exactly.
Did fit.
I love it. I absolutely do. Well, Nina, welcome to our show, and let me introduce you to our panel. First up, a comedian whose album Yell Joy is available everywhere now. It's Joyelle Nicole Johnson.
Hey, Nina. I live in Brooklyn, too. What up, girl? We neighbors.
Next up, an actor and writer who can be seen at Comedy Sports Philadelphia in the acclaimed improv show Two Square on July 20th. It's Peter Gross.
Hi there.
Hello.
I also live in Brooklyn.
And you can see her July 13th at the Colonial Theater in Bethlehem, New Hampshire, and July 14th at the Music Hall Lounge in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. It's Dulce Sloan.
Boo!
How dare you?
Twas me who booed! I will boo on New York every chance I get.
Well, Nina, you, of course, are going to be playing Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotations from this week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you will win our prize. Any voice from our show you might choose in your voicemail. Are you ready to do it?
I am.
All right. Your first quote is from the President of the United States of America.
You're the sucker. You're the loser.
That was President Biden speaking to former President Trump in a very presidential event on Thursday night. What was it?
Oh, man, the presidential debate.
Yes! The correct answer and the correct tone. So now it's done. The question before America now is basically, which grandpa do you want to spend Thanksgiving with? The one who accidentally says racist things or the one who does it on purpose? One of the first things everybody started talking about immediately was how hoarse Biden was, or as the New York Times put it, quote, he was very hoarse.
So you think he was practicing in the mirror too much? Like he had like a big audition coming up in like the high school play, and then he rehearsed too much and then he lost his voice.
It's possible.
It's like Biden can always find new ways to appear old.
Yeah.
Like I would have been like, oh, he's going to yawn or his eyes are going to sag, but he's like, no, I'm going to sound like Mel Brooks doing the 2,000-year-old man.
I think it's so interesting that the founding fathers were like, no man with this many charges against him is going to run for president, right?
Yeah.
Like, there were just little things that were like, no man who's been in jail, we don't have to write this down,
you
right?
You know what it was? They were like, hey, if someone from the future went back and was like, the number 34 is really important, they would be like, well, that's middle age. I'm sure no man under 34 should be president. You're like, no, it's a number of charges.
Yeah. That's probably why there's no cap, because no one made it to the age that Trump and Biden are.
Right.
So
yeah.
They'd never met an 80-year-old man. So they're like, no one lived 80 years. That's
exactly.
The Bible. Like, no one had ever.
Right, exactly.
I feel.
Well, they didn't have to write it down because you died at 51.
Only so out of sucking up, I have to point out the one exception was Ben Franklin.
How old was he?
He, as far as I know, he's still alive.
Shut up. But didn't he?
It's the syphilis. Syphilis kills every other disease.
Exactly.
And then you just live forever.
Nina, your yes. next quote is from the actor Naomi Watts confessing some ignorance to the Wall Street Journal.
I knew about hot flashes because they were on TV.
Ms. Watts was expressing her gratitude for a new initiative to bring attention finally to what important women's health issue?
Menopause?
Yes, menopause. Big round of applause for menopause.
I was going to say, yeah. That's the most applause menopause has ever gotten.
Somewhere menopause is grateful, I guess. Menopause, otherwise known when those few years when your mom got weird, and it is finally getting its due attention, unlike, say, just about any woman who has gone through menopause.
We all gone through menopause right now in this amphitheater, I'll tell you that.
The hot
flashes.
It
is a little warm.
Not me, baby. I'm from the South. I live on this side. I'm hot at night.
So is there like specific research that's now being done or something like that?
The New York Times this week reported about attempts to delay menopause, which in fact could help women live longer and healthier and even remain fertile longer as they age. It's true. Yeah. It's good.
Girl.
It's good, but it is going to be weird to have to introduce your grandkids to their new baby aunt.
Oh, we've been doing that for centuries.
Yeah. But also, just like...
Like, doesn't Robert De Niro have like a 3-month-old?
He does.
Al Pacino got a 2-month-old.
So here's my thing. Nature has gone, okay, women, you gotta start. But they've just gone, men, do what you do. And I don't understand why there was never a cutoff.
Yeah, well, that's true. In fact, Jill Biden, the first lady, recently introduced this new well-funded presidential initiative to fund studies into menopause. And she says, quite reasonably, that society has always prioritized men's health over women's. That's why old women now get, well, I guess you'll shrivel and die, and old men get here, have some zero side effect hair growth and boner pills.
I would like to fund male birth control.
Okay. Here's the thing. If some man told you that he was on birth control, would you believe him?
Touche.
All right, Nina, here is your last quote.
You just stare at the seat in front of you. All you hear is the drumming of the engine.
That was someone quoted in GQ praising the new trend of giving up all entertainment and other distractions while doing what?
Spying on an airplane?
That's right.
Yes.
Forget podcast, books, movies on the little screen in the back of your chair. The latest, coolest trend in air travel is, quote, raw dogging. That's what they call it, which means forgoing all the distractions in a flight and just staring at the back of the seat in front of you. Never has something so dull been called something you really should not look up on Urban Dictionary.
It's not necessary. No. I mean, that's the only time I read.
I know, yes.
I'm on a flight.
If it proves anything, it's men need therapy.
This is true. This is mostly men who are doing this.
The fact that it's called raw dogging.
Right. You know a man said that.
A man was like, yeah, I was just sitting there, didn't do 7 hours, raw dog that flight. You're like, bro.
Right.
You forgot a book and your phone died. How dare you?
It's also that he had to come up with like a really aggressive name for not doing anything.
You were sitting next to a mother and a child. You raw dogged nothing. What are you talking about?
She raw dogged.
That's how she got that baby.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Bill, how did Nina do in our quiz?
Nina came to town, won 3, and goes home a winner.
Congratulations. It's a knockout. Congratulations, Nina. Thank you so much for playing.
Thank you.
Take care. Panel, it is time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Joelle, Bill Curtis has another quote for you from this week's news. It is a spokesman for the Boeing Corporation.
Lord.
The astronauts are not stranded.
Where are two astronauts absolutely stranded?
In a Boeing rocket ship?
Not quite. They made it there, but they can't yet come back.
They on the moon?
No, not that far.
They on the top of the man amphitheater?
No. Where do astronauts tend to go these days when they go to near-Earth orbit? They get off their spaceship and they get into...
A space station?
Yes, the space station, the ISS.
She got there.
That was a fun journey.
Joelle, did you know there is a space station up there?
No. I didn't remember that.
Okay.
Nobody told me that.
You're more concerned with earthly pursuits, but that's okay.
That's my bet. She asked me to tell her if there were any permanent structures built up in space. I dropped the ball.
He lied to me.
Yeah, they are stranded on the International Space Station. Astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams were the first to fly Boeing's new Starliner rocket to the ISS. And lucky them, they get to stay up there an extra month, maybe. It's like winning a vacation on a game show if your vacation consisted of drinking out of one bag and peeing into another.
I think I thought they only had space stations in the movies.
Girl, what?
I'm being honest.
It's been up there for like 20 years.
I ain't been there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you also haven't been to like Tokyo, and you know that there is a Tokyo.
How do you know I haven't been to Tokyo,
Peter? How you know she ain't been to Tokyo, Peter?
Let's ask. Have you been to Tokyo?
I haven't.
I rest my case.
Right now, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff, the listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Or you can check out the pinned post on our Instagram page. That's at WaitWaitNPR. All the info is right there. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, Peter.
Hey, who's this?
Rachel Pullen calling from Clearfield, Utah.
What do you do there in Clearfield?
I am a junior high English teacher, and before anybody says it, yes, voluntarily.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't pay me to go back to junior high school. Is it fun just to be in a room with all those raging hormones and the bodies they're attached to?
It is. I say a lot of things out loud that I would not say in any other profession.
Give us an example.
One of my favorites this last year was, gentlemen, don't put sprinkles up your nose during class.
Wow. So she has a spray bottle and has to hit them like cats.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show, Rachel. You're going to play the game in which you have to tell truth from fiction. Bill, what is Rachel's topic?
I'll see you in court.
It is rare that we get to see true firsts anymore, what with the Earth being almost 6,000 years old. But this week, somebody sued somebody for a reason we have never seen before. We think it's the first time in history it's happened. Our panelists are going to tell you about it. Pick the real one, and you will win the Wait Waiter of your choice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
I am so ready. I've listened to this show since I was 8 years old with my dad, and I cannot believe I'm doing this. So let's do it.
All right. First up, let's hear from Joelle Nicole Johnson.
Living in a capitalist society, being sued in small claims court is par for the course. However, has someone ever been sued for passing on bad genes? Diana Cole of Tupelo, Mississippi, sued her mother Sabrina simply for procreating with her father. Diana claims she has sustained emotional distress when a date left the restaurant when she excused herself to the bathroom. She blames this all on her mother, who happens to be a beauty queen who married down. When asked for comment, the former Miss Teen of Tupelo responded, "What can I say? He had money and I had looks. I was hoping the kids would look like me." While this case was dismissed in the court of law, Diana wanted to set a precedent for future generations. "I want people to think before they have children." "Don't we all, Diana?" the judge responded before throwing out the case. The ugly rich father cannot be reached for comment.
A woman sues her mother for marrying her ugly dog of a dad and passing down those looks. Your next story of suing Sue Generis comes from Dulce Sloan.
There are many benchmark moments in a relationship. First kiss, meeting the parents, and the penultimate, taking your partner to the airport. A man in New Zealand promised to take his girlfriend of 6.5 years to the airport and watch her dogs while she was out of town for a concert. The day she was supposed to leave, he ghosted her. No call, no show, nada. Now, many in this situation would take this disappointment and let it fester into deep resentment. This young lady, on the other hand, decided to sue. The woman argued that his promise was an oral contract and he had broken it. Unfortunately, he was not found responsible for anything other than being a crappy boyfriend.
A woman sues her boyfriend for not showing up to take her to the airport like he promised. Your last story of pioneering jurisprudence comes from Peter Gross.
Sue Stewart works at Super Realty in Sioux City, Iowa, and she loves her job. That is until this week when Sue's co-worker, Suzanne Hsu, told everyone she also wants to be called Sue. Sue assumed she was the only Sue. She didn't know what to do. So Sue sued Sue, saying, quote, "I didn't want to sue Sue, but two sues is more than I can do." The case went to court, and the morning the suit would be heard, Sue went to Size Suits, Sioux City selection for superior suits. Sue bought a suit, suited up, then brought her suit against Sue to the Sioux City Suit Center, a small claims court in town. The judge, Susan Stoops, said Sue's suit was not suitable for the Sioux City Suit Center, saying, "Sue, screw you." Sued, Suzanne told the Sioux City Review, "I never meant to cause a Sue-on-Sue feud." So Sue and Sue agreed to review over a bowl of soup, so they scooted on over to Super Soup, Sioux City's super spot for savory soups. After a soup-son of soup, Suzanne told Sue she'd undo her Sue and change her name to Carol, which should be fine until Christmas rolls around.
Rachel, I just want to say they might be applauding for the truth.
People always do.
People always do. So, Rachel, these are your choices about the pioneering lawsuit. Was it from Joelle Nicole Johnson, a woman who sued her mother for marrying her ugly dad? From Dulce, a woman who sued her boyfriend for not taking her to the airport like he promised? Or from Peter Gross, Sue of Sioux City, suing Sue?
I am so impressed with Peter's ability to rattle off the Sue's in Sioux City. I'm so impressed with that, but I've spent enough time on Instagram to think that Dulce is probably the one telling the truth.
All right, so you think that it's Dulce telling the story of the woman suing her no-good boyfriend. Well, we spoke to a reporter who covered the real story.
I would say this really gets to the question of who deserves a ride to the airport. Who should you take to the airport?
That was Natalie Compton, a travel reporter for the Washington Post, talking about the ride to the airport case in New Zealand. I should say, we don't know if they're still together, which is an interesting question. Congratulations, Rachel. You got it right. You have won our prize and a point for Dulce just for telling the truth.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for playing. Take care. Good luck with
those
kids.
Honor.
Enjoy your summer. And good luck
you.
With the kids next year.
I'll take you there.
And now the game we call Not My Job. If you're in Philadelphia, you can go over to Independence Hall and see the birthplace of Liberty. Or you can head down to South Philly and the High School for Creative and Performing Arts and see the birthplace of genius. One of its most famous graduates is Christian McBride, jazz bassist, band leader, 9-time Grammy winner, artistic director of the Newport Jazz Festival, and host of NPR's Jazz Night in America. And we are proud to talk to him here in his hometown. Christian McBride, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
It's nice. It's nice to be home.
It's always nice to be home.
I want to talk to you about your level of fame, because when I told people that we were having you in the show, I got two reactions. Mm-hmm. The first reaction was, "Oh my God, Christian McBride, that you have him in person himself?" They were like freaking out. They were sending me tracks they needed to listen to. And the other reaction was, "Oh."
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like there are like certain people who just cannot believe these are huge, enormous fans.
Right.
Is this your experience of like walking through life?
Well, I always say being a famous jazz bass player is being like a famous plumber. Because I might not get invited to the party, but you need me.
Is Is that why when you were a young man here in West Philly having musical ambitions, you chose the bass because you're like, they're always going to need a bassist? It's like, I can imagine, you know, your mother saying, be a plumber. Plumbers are always necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Your mother
saying,
people need a backbeat, right?
Yeah, well, bass is a family tradition. My dad plays bass. My great uncle plays bass. Oh. So I really didn't have much choice.
Really? Not a lot of lead melody in your house then?
No, not at all. Not at all.
And tell me about that. There's, you could have rebelled, right? You could have picked up guitar or something else, wind instrument. What was it about the bass that you loved?
I always just thought the bass was cool because it made people dance. You know, the bass and the drums are what make, that's what makes you dance,
right.
You know? And that's right. Bass is one of those instruments where, like, you know, I always say the best bass players are the ones who aren't noticed, because when the groove starts getting funny and people can't dance anymore, that's when they look up on stage and say, hey, what's going on up there?
Yeah.
You also have to be very nice to bass players, because we could easily sabotage the music.
Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bass and drums, like I said, hold all the power. So if you want to be a diva, you go right ahead. One of these days, you're going to feel the bass and the drums stop or play something that you're not expecting. And so much for all that showboating out in front.
Right.
You know?
So when you were starting out, were you immediately into jazz? Was that your first love?
No. I wanted to play with James Brown.
Really? That was your thing?
Yes. Which I'm very happy to say I eventually did. But I grew up as an R&B kid. You know,
yeah.
Philly, you know, Gambling Huff.
And you actually got to play. You played with a lot of people, but you actually got to play with James Brown.
I got to play with Mr. Brown,
and
yes.
What about, what's it like meeting your heroes in the case of Mr. Brown?
It's complicated.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. We heard that he used to levy fines on
his
band members if they screwed up.
But that was standard practice for a lot of band leaders in the 40s and 50s. You know, Ray Charles did that, Lionel Hampton did that, Benny Goodman did that. That was part of the gig, you know, like if you screwed up, $10 coming out of your pay
right.
at the end of the night.
So you're,
now, of course, James Brown kept that practice going long after everybody stopped.
Right, yeah.
Right.
Significant part of his income, I'm sure, by the end. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So when did you get into jazz?
When I first started playing the double bass when I got to middle school, because I'd been playing the electric bass for a couple of years, my great uncle Howard, who's the other bass player in the family, he was so excited. He said, come over to my house, I got something for you. And now that he found out that I was playing the double bass, he said, hey, I'm gonna turn you on to the cat. So he spent the whole day playing nothing but jazz albums for me. And my great uncle had this very cool way of, you know, he would put a record on, and he had a chair similar to this. He would sit down, he would sit way down like this. He'd light up a cigarette, and have a glass of wine, and he would start playing air bass along with the record.
Right.
And, you know, he would slap me on the arm and say, hey, listen to what Coltrane is about to do. And he pointed to the record, ooh, you hear that? And so it was so entertaining watching my great uncle listen to jazz. I said, well, if jazz makes him that cool, then I want to be cool too.
Right.
So that one visit with my great uncle.
Really?
Yeah.
And then,
does he also do that during movies?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how many ensembles and groups you've started in your career, but my understanding is the latest one is called The New John.
Actually, The New John is... Right.
That's, I should say, for non-Philadelphians, that's not the name John, that's J-A-W-N.
I actually have a new group since The New
John.
Oh,
I'm sorry. So,
yeah, so The New John is the old John.
I see, yeah.
Right.
Could you explain to non-Philadelphians what a John is?
It's J-A-W-N. A person, place, or thing.
Yeah.
You know, Joelle could have a new partner or whatever. Hey, you seen Joelle's new John?
A new John.
Really?
You know? Yeah.
Well, it's interesting because I grew up in Atlanta, so Johnin', which is also, that's how, so I guess that's the place they call it, the dozens.
Yeah.
So when we're going back and forth, that's what we call Johnin'.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, John has different versions regionally, like in New York, it's joint.
Yeah. Right.
You know, someone said in Memphis, this is funny, they said it's junt.
Yeah.
In Memphis.
Junt?
Yeah, junt, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't know what it is on the West Coast.
Yeah, who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
I'm sure Kendrick Lamar will tell us.
Right, right.
Well, Christian McBride, it is such a pleasure to talk to you in your hometown, and we have asked you back here to play a game we're calling
Bass pro meet bass pro.
Oh, man. I was afraid. Oh,
really?
Man.
You anticipated that?
I was hoping to be baseball and not bass. Oh, boy.
You ever been to a Bass Pro Shop?
No.
No,
they're
okay.
One of the best stores in the world.
Really?
Yes, right. I love a Bass Pro Shop.
Exactly. So you know
you
about...
That was a good look, Joey.
You're a world-renowned genius when it comes to the bass, the instrument. So what do you know about Bass the Pro Shop? We're going to ask you three questions about the outdoor store that is not REI. Answer two out of three questions correctly. You'll win the prize for one of our listeners, the wait waiter of their choice on their voicemail. Bill, who is jazz legend Christian McBride playing for?
Chris Dunn of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hometown guy. All right. So Bass Pro Shops are famous for their enormous sales floors and the things on them, like giant aquariums, actual running streams through the floor, and more. All of that natural beauty, though, can backfire, as in which of these cases? A, one store in Texas is now home to a family of geese who refuse to let anyone go near the camping supply section. B, at a shop in Florida, a man showed up with a net, scooped a 50-pound fish right out of the aquarium, and then just walked out with it. Or C, a store in Kansas was declared a protected environment for a species of endangered fish, and now nobody is allowed inside.
Yeah, well, considering this is America, yeah. I would go with B.
Right, oh. Meaning this is the place where people just go in there and take that fish.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
No price tag on it.
That's right.
You're right, yes. That's what happened. And according to the story, the thief, and perhaps for all we know, the fish, is still at large. Maybe he was rescuing it in a Finding Nemo kind of way. We don't know. Now, next question. One of the most famous Bass Pro Shops is the one in Memphis, Tennessee. In addition to being very popular, it is notable for one other reason. What is it? A, all of the fish in the aquarium are descendants of the fish that Elvis had in his aquarium. B, it has an actual moat you can test drive their motorboats in. Or C, it is located inside one of the largest pyramids in the world.
Well, I know the arena where the Grizzlies play is actually called the Pyramid, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with C.
Yeah, it is.
That's right.
Yeah, the Pyramid was built for some civic purpose.
That's a big junk.
It's a big jump.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a big jump.
It's meant to be a 2/3 scale model of the Great Pyramid of Giza, and just like that world wonder, it was also built by aliens. And now there's a Bass Pro Shops in it, which is pretty awesome. All right, here's your last question. Sadly, not everyone is happy with Bass Pro Shops. In fact, a man once filed a $5 million lawsuit against that company over what? A, the fact that he spent over $3,000 on premium fishing gear and still could not catch anything.
That sounds American.
B, they stopped replacing his $12 pair of socks after about 10 times, even though they had a lifetime guarantee. Or C, he got dysentery after getting thirsty in the middle of the store and taking a drink from one of the artificial trout streams.
Wow.
B.
Oh.
Well, I already got 2 out of 3.
You did, man.
I'm actually going to go with A.
You're going to go with A, the fact that he spent $3,000 on fishing gear and still couldn't catch anything.
Yeah.
No, it was actually B. It was about the return of the socks. Mm. Bill, how did Christian McBride do in our quiz?
Well, he's a winner. 2 out of 3. That's a win.
Congratulations.
Boom, 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 boom.
Christian McBride is a Grammy-winning bassist and the artistic director of the Newport Jazz Festival and the Jazz House Kids. Christian McBride, thank you so much for joining us here in Philadelphia.
Thank you.
Christian McBride, everybody. But right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news.
All right.
Peter, I have a question for you. Peter, running clubs are a great way to get some exercise, get sweaty and smelly in a big group of people, but these days, apparently, they're also being used for doing what?
Finding sexual partners.
Exactly right. Finding a date.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly.
Ew,
right.
I don't like the way you said that.
Finding sexual partners, and can you give me some names of some of these clubs?
No, Peter just routinely answers that to any question. Like, why do they go to space?
Finding sexual partners.
According to the New York Times, running clubs are the new singles bars because since dating isn't hard enough, let's add the sudden urge to emergency poop your pants.
Ooh.
And if if you do meet and it goes well, it'll be a great story for your kids years from now. Oh, well, you know, there was just something about the way your dad's nipples bled.
Wait, what's the emergency poop your pants part?
That's a thing that sometimes happens.
If you run that far. I would assume running club is like, let's go jog 3 miles.
Oh, the emergency poop may strike you at any time, Peter.
I mean, I guess it's if you take chasing women literally.
That's true. Yeah. I will speak for myself. I haven't found any dates that way, but it is a nice, low-pressure way to meet people. You don't have to really worry about what you're going to wear, right? Plus, you have an excuse for being gross and sweaty on essentially your first date. They don't need to know that you will also be just like that when you go out to dinner.
How can you talk, though? You're like, hey, my name's Peter. I grew up in New York. And now, like, the breathing is so labored. There's no... Every time I run and I try to talk to somebody, I'm like, I can't do this.
Well, you try to run at a pace where you can speak in a natural way.
That's called standing still?
Yes. Yeah. For some.
My cousin met her husband at a bike club.
There you are.
Yeah. See? But then he cheated and she moved to Mexico.
Wow. I was so happy for a second.
Yeah.
It's a lot of drama.
I can make it sad real quick.
I know. Dulce...
Yeah.
As I'm sure you know, camping is a great way to disconnect, get out there, get away from the modern world. That's why companies are now offering what to attach to the side of your tent this summer?
Mirrors.
No.
Can you give me a clue?
I can. All right. They're very convenient, I guess, and keep you comfortable, but they're very hard to attach to your tent's window.
Oh, air conditioning?
Air conditioners for your camping tent.
Yeah, oh. Makes sense.
It's so wonderful to wake up in the wilderness and hear the sounds of nature. Well, now some innovative companies are asking, but what if you couldn't?
I have a question for you.
Yes.
What in the history of knowing me?
Yes.
Would cause anyone on this team to believe that I go camping? Who do I need to talk to?
Yeah.
I'm the blackest person you know.
Right.
How dare you say that while you sit next to me?
I hear you. Joelle, we're tied for first. So, I don't know much about camping because I believe in the power of inside.
Two things. First of all, we are both so black that we have to take our earring off to put our headphones on. And second, I thought the purpose of camping was to be uncomfortable.
That is kind of the point, yeah. This is the thing, though. People like to camp out in tents, but they want to be cool. You can get a camping tent air conditioner. They cost about $1,500.
$1,500?
Oh, my God.
No! You could go to an actual nice hotel.
A resort.
For $1,500, there better be a dinosaur in that thing from the Flintstones going, it's a living. Now!
Always had a roof above me, always paid the rent. And I never set foot inside a tent. I couldn't build a fire to save my life. I lied about being outdoor time.
Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can catch us most weeks back at the Studebaker Theater in downtown Chicago, Illinois. For tickets and information to all of our live shows, just go over to nvrpresents.org. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Greg from Centennial, Colorado.
That's great. Centennial is a famous town, but I don't know exactly in Colorado where it is.
Oh, it's just a southern suburb just south of Denver.
I see. And what do you do there? All those fabulous Colorado things, hiking, mountaineering, that sort of thing?
Absolutely. Yeah. And eating good food.
Well, Greg, welcome to our show. Bill Curtis is going to read you 3 news-related limericks with the last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly, and 2 of the limericks, you will be a winner. You ready to play?
Absolutely.
Here's your first limerick.
At the concert, I don't mean to tease you. I think Tay-Tay's perfume smelled like freesia. But things got so hot that I simply forgot. I developed post-concert...
amnesia.
Amnesia, yes. Dozens of Taylor Swift fans who saw the Eras tour are now saying they cannot remember any of it. It is a documented phenomenon called post-concert amnesia. It's why whenever I go to a concert, I make flashcards to study on the way home. Apparently, intense emotions and adrenaline makes it harder for your brain to store memories. It's why, for example, some people look at their wedding photos and are like, I smeared cake on your face. Why would I do that?
They're just so overwhelmed with the Taylor Swift of it all that they just freak out.
There's such a huge freak out that their brain just cannot, it doesn't have enough processing power, if you will, to store the memories. And so when it's all over, it's just a blur and they can't remember anything that happened.
Are they remembering the better Beyonce concert?
Like, just slip that in.
I remember Beyonce's concert.
Could it not be amnesia and just that it was forgettable?
Drag her.
I'm asking a legitimate question. I'm just asking. I'm not trying to start no problems with no 10-year-old. I'm just asking a question.
Oh, it's too late, Dulce. Here is your next limerick.
I am sick of the club choosing drama, and my kid always whines for his mama. This sweet pet from Peru won't want tips when we're through. As a caddy, I'm choosing a
llama.
That's right. At the Sherwood Forest Golf Course in North Carolina, you can book a llama to carry your clubs around while you golf. Apparently, llamas are perfect caddies because they can carry heavy loads and are gentle grazers, unlike human caddies who are constantly tearing up the fairway in their passionate mating displays.
Don't they? Do they spit in your face if you pick the wrong club?
Exactly. That's how they let
Llamas
you know.
Llamas are spitters.
Yeah, exactly.
Who asked for this? Or somebody was like, yo, I bought a llama, but I also needed to be a tax deduction.
Yeah, exactly.
I bought a llama, and my stupid nephew says he can't caddy today. So I'm
what this means, by the way, is if this goes widespread, there will be some golf courses where llamas are allowed, but women are not. It's true. Is that fair? Maybe not, but that's what happens when billionaires have paid to pack the Supreme Court with llamas.
I like that you chose women there.
Ah, yeah. Here is your last limerick.
I will drool when you try to get snuggly, and my eyes and my fur are real struggly. But the world needs to know I am best, worst in show. Out of all of the dogs, I'm most...
ugly?
Ugly, yes. The world's ugliest dog has been decided. Every year, there's a contest in Northern California with entries from all over the world to decide who has destroyed the wolf in the most substantial way. This year's winner is a Pekingese named Wild Thang. It's a huge victory for the dog who got second place 3 years in a row, but now he is a winner. Good for his owners, but it's got to hurt if you're Wild Thang. He's like, yay, I won. Wait, what did I win?
They probably just give it a little treat and a little bow anyway, right? So they don't... They probably think he won some contest.
He doesn't care.
He doesn't know. He's a dog.
Yeah. Maybe it's like that episode of Twilight Zone where everybody was ugly and the lady was beautiful.
Yeah, could be.
So in the dog world, that's Naomi Campbell.
Bill, how did Greg do in our quiz?
3 in a row. What a genius.
Thank you, Greg. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. It's true.
Now on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as they can. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Cedar Grove says 2. Dulce and Joyelle each have 3.
Okay. So, Peter, you're in third place, so you're going to start. The clock will start when I begin your first question, fill in the blank. This week, the Supreme Court voted to allow emergency exceptions to Idaho's blank ban.
Abortion.
Right. After accepting a plea deal with the U.S., WikiLeaks founder blank returned home for the first time in 12 years.
Julian Assange.
Right. This week, the chancellor of New York Public Schools said they may announce a full blank ban in January.
Cell phone ban.
Right. On Thursday, Oklahoma State Superintendent directed all public schools there to teach blank.
The Bible?
Right. This week, an Illinois museum said they're investigating the cause of an incident that left their new blank exhibit underwater.
The Bible?
No. No, their new Titanic exhibit is underwater on Wednesday. NBC announced that sportscaster Al Michaels has approved an AI recreation of his voice for coverage of the summer blank.
Oh, no. Olympics?
Right. Marking its first new loan in over 20 years, China announced it was sending two blanks to the San Diego Zoo.
China. Oh, pandas.
Yes. This week, over 500,000 glass coffee mugs were recalled because they explode when you blank.
Put coffee in them.
Yes. In fact, they explode when you put any hot liquid in them. According to the recall notice, the Declan single wall glass coffee mug can leak, crack, or even explode when you put hot liquid in it. I mean, I get it. Don't even talk to me in the morning until I have detonated my first coffee.
Mmm, you can taste the shards.
Yes. Bill, how did Peter Gross do in our quiz?
Here's your hot man. He got 7 right, 14 more points.
Easy, Bill.
Total of 16.
All right, Dulce, I am arbitrarily picking you to go next.
So, oh, good.
So fill in the blank. On Monday, U.S. prosecutors recommended that the Justice Department file criminal charges against airplane maker blank.
Boeing?
Right. According to the Department of Homeland Security, migrant apprehensions at the blank have dropped by 40%.
The border?
Yes, with Mexico. Following days of protests in Nairobi, the president of blank withdrew a controversial new finance bill.
Kenya?
Right. This week, scientists in China opened a capsule containing samples from the far side of the blank.
Moon?
Right. This week in New Orleans, man was arrested for impersonating a police officer after he used his fake lights and sirens to pull over blank.
A white person.
No. An actual police officer. By drafting Bronny James, the Los Angeles Lakers moved closer to having the first blank and blank on the same NBA team.
Oh, Father and Son.
Right. On Tuesday, health officials warned that three popular ice cream brands may contain traces of blank.
Stevia?
No, Listeria.
Listeria? Yeah.
Last week, a new wax statue of Abraham Lincoln in Washington, D.C. blanked.
Melted!
Right. After a 4-day heat wave melted this new sculpture of Lincoln, people began to say maybe wax was not the best medium, but I'm sorry, has there ever been a more Yankee candle than a wax Abraham Lincoln?
Hilarious.
Bill, how did Dulce do in our quiz?
Well, she's in there. She got 6 right, 12 more points, 15, 1 short of Peter.
Won't he do it?
All right, how many then does Joyelle need to win?
7.
All right, Joyelle, it's a tall order, but you can do it. Here we go. This is for the game. Fill in the blank. This week, Judge Eileen Cannon said she would revisit a key finding in blank's classified documents case.
Trump?
Yes. On Thursday, pharmacy giant blank announced plans to close stores throughout the country.
Duane Reade.
No, Walgreens. On Thursday, the Supreme Court rejected the bankruptcy plan of blank pharma.
Big Pharma.
Purdue Pharma. This week, Apple announced they'd fixed a vulnerability in their Vision Pro headsets that had allowed hackers to blank.
Raw dog on an airplane.
No. To make it seem as if the user's room was filled with spiders. On Wednesday, NASA announced a contract with SpaceX to help drag the blank out of orbit when it is decommissioned.
The space station!
Right, Joyelle, right.
That's where they were 10 points.
Citing a piece of the car that may just fly off while you're driving, Tesla once again recalled the blank.
That dumbass truck.
I'm going to give it to you, the Cybertruck. This week, a woman staying in a French wildlife park was attacked by wolves while she was jogging in blank.
Booty shorts.
No, she was jogging in the wolf enclosure.
Were they like, the people at the park were like, oh no, we should save her.
Okay, so she was trying to go full colors of the wind.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh no, miss, you about to be the color of blood. You need to sit down.
Yeah.
She
yeah,
survived?
Exactly. She's injured but fine.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry for your not loss.
I'm so sorry for your not loss.
Bill, did Joyelle do well enough to win?
She got 3 right.
Yes!
6 more points. She got a total of 9, which means Peter Gross is the champion.
Yay for Peter! Now, panel, what will people start doing on planes next? Joyelle Nicole Johnson.
Barebacking. Riding an airplane without a shirt.
Peter Gross.
There will be a rash of weirdos not taking 3 Xanax and drinking 5 Jack and Cokes before takeoff.
And Dulce Sloan.
Literally building the plane in the air.
Well, if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Joel, Nicole Johnson, Peter Gross, Dulce Sloan. Thanks to everyone at WHYY. Special thanks to Toby Blumenthal and the entire staff and crew at the Mann Center for the Performing Arts in Philadelphia. Thank you for our fabulous audience who joined us here at this beautiful place. And thank of all of you out there in Radioland for listening. I'm Peter Sagal. We'll see you next week.